Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Families affected by the Kerry mental health controversy are calling for clarity on several elements of a new compensation scheme unveiled by the government. Significant harm was caused to at least 46 children after they were prescribed with dangerously excessive doses of medication over a four-year period at South Kerry Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services. The Minister for Health, Minister for Mental Health, Mary Butler, says the scheme will cost several million euro, but there are already concerns from some families and young people that they will not be left behind. Our reporter Barry Lenihan has covered the story extensively for us. He joins us now. And Barry, you might firstly remind us exactly how this controversy emerged earlier this year.
Yes, so in January, the HSE published a review into South Kerry Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, or CAMHS, which figures such as Micheál Martin intimated how details of that review were beyond comprehension. This, the Maskey review, it examined the treatment of more than 1,300 young people at South Kerry CAMHS over a four-year period up to 2021. It found how significant harm was caused to at least 46 children after they were prescribed with dangerously excessive doses of medication. The harm included considerable weight gain, sleepiness during the day, elevated blood pressure and the production of breast milk. 227 children were exposed to, quote, the risk of significant harm, such as growth disturbance, serious weight gain, slowed thinking and psychological distress. And red flags, the review found, were raised about the doctor at the heart of this scandal. Those red flags never acted upon. The doctor at the heart, unsupervised at certain periods but recommended for other jobs. He also practiced in private cosmetic medicine during the review period, including Botox. There was a rush to diagnose ADHD in children, including prescribing cocktails of drugs for the disorder, even when children's schools said there was nothing to support such a diagnosis. A rush to give antipsychotics to teenagers who just had relationship breakups rather than allow the stress to resolve, and wrong drugs often given as well. Antipsychotics instead of depressants, tranquilizers and stimulants given in tandem. All in all, 31 children prescribed four different categories of medication. Two children were given a batch of five.
And we've heard from you, Barry, on this programme, the harrowing impact that this had on families and young people. So what exactly have we heard now from the government in terms of compensation?
So the families received letters yesterday in the post informing them of how to apply for this new compensation scheme, and compensation packages that be negotiated individually through the State Claims Agency. Now, the government hasn't announced any figures attached to the scheme at the moment, so no minimum or maximum figure set for compensation for families and young people affected, but it is promising a non-adversarial process, and the children and families involved, they can apply to the scheme via the HSE through their appointed solicitor. In terms of what any compensation may look like, talking to the solicitor Keith Rowles of Coleman Legal this afternoon, he represents over 160 impacted families. He says that judging by the fact that many cases perhaps would have been issued through the High Court anyway, talking to those affected and senior counsel, you could be looking at around €60,000 per claim per compensation package for families. Now, families who are entitled to compensation, they will receive an opening payment of €5,000 to cover their initial expenses and the overall cost of this. Given all that's happened, the Minister for Mental Health, Mary Butler, has intimated it may run to many millions of euro, but there are already certain cohorts who feel they're being left out of the scheme.
And what about the families? How are they reacting?
Look, there are those who feel that they won't engage with the scheme. Of course, you'll remember the problems with regards to the cervical check tribunal. Others have questions, for instance, in terms of determining the level of compensation, the level of harm caused. The scheme will have an independent panel of psychiatrists. So how will this work? Who will be on it? And also, how do you quantify damage in the future, down the line? Children who have been given these potent cocktails of drugs, we don't know what impact they will have maybe in 10, 15 years' time. Now, the government is to appoint an independent mediator, the retired High Court judge, Justice Peter Kelly, where there are disputes over any levels of compensation agreed between families and the State Claims Agency. We also have those who haven't been identified in the Maskey review as having suffered harm because of the prescribing practices in South Kerry CAMHS. They feel they too should have access to the scheme. Now, this Kerry mother I spoke to in the last short while, she met Mary Butler, the Minister for Mental Health, in February about the scheme, outlining concerns over what families need. Her son first engaged with South Kerry CAMHS in 2018. Eventually, he came into contact with the doctor at the heart of this controversy and another medic as well, and he was prescribed the antipsychotic risperidone, which is often used to treat schizophrenia, as well as two other drugs, Medicinet and Concerta. And the mother gave me her reaction, but first, she told me of how her son's file also went missing when engaging with South Kerry CAMHS.
When I didn't see anybody for over a year in 2020-21, and I thought it was because of COVID, and that he wasn't in school and he wasn't getting himself into trouble as much, that we just didn't need to be seen as often. I didn't realise that we were supposed to be seen regular because of the drugs he was on. I contacted CAMHS in January 2021 because he was getting aggressive in the evening. Like, it was really escalating in the evenings again, and I thought it was because he was bigger and he might need a look at his medication and he hadn't been seen for so long. I got an appointment then, and it was the new doctor, it was Dr. Sharma. He informed me that not only was he on one of the worst combinations of medicines he's seen, but according to the files, they had to go looking for his files because his file had been archived, and that he had been discharged in 2018, and that he had been getting, I'd been getting appointments up until like 2020 and medication the whole time, but his file had been discharged in 2018. So they didn't even know that we were still under the service when I went in. They had to have a social worker who'd been there for a long time, who knew us from before, come and confirm who I was, just so that they knew who they were talking to. If I hadn't called them, they wouldn't have even been aware of my son's file.
Given that, given the litany of failures, and given all you, both yourself and your son, have been through, how does this compensation scheme look for you?
I welcome it in that if it's going to come quickly and I don't have to go through the courts, because I'm exhausted at this stage and my family are exhausted. We're just sick of the whole CAMHS conversation. It's taken its toll on every single person here. That if they turn around and said, right, this is quick, this is non-adversarial, you don't have to go to court, we say I'm sorry and here's a package. I welcome that part of it. But if it's like, I just don't understand how they're going to take into account all of the details in the COGS, because as it stands right now, 46 children were significantly harmed. 240 children were at risk of harm. My child falls under the at risk of harm, but I can guarantee you he was harmed. He was sedated for 2 years. He was still aggressive. He lost 2 years of social communication with his peers, which they kind of explained away as autistic traits. Which isn't true, because when he's off the medication now, after he's gone through withdrawal, he was sick for weeks on end, he was getting into trouble at school, had to be reassessed because they didn't even have a diagnosis in the file for the medication they were giving him. He's a completely different child now. It's like night and day. He's so conversive with our family. He's joining in conversations. He's started playing soccer, which is something he never would have done. He's joined team sports, which is something he never would have been able to do. And it's like night and day, which is why I'm saying, like, for him, he might not have looked sedated in your typical rolling your eyes and falling asleep, but for him, he was sat on the couch, sedated, not wanting to move. How do they decide the difference between the 46 children and the 240? Because according to the Maskey report, he was only at risk of these things, but he suffered them.
I know you've been in brief contact with other families. Any indication as to their reaction to details of this scheme?
I know that there's a lot of mixed reaction that way. It's just a lot of different things that have to work together. And because of the sheer difference in the families and how it's affected them, and some people had to give up work. I haven't been able to work since 2016, really, because I'm here to care for my son and I wasn't getting the services. So I've had to stay at home because there's no way I could deal with his needs and a job And then the whole family is kind of suffering that way. And I know there's other families in the same position.
And how you quantify that is a very difficult question for the scheme to get around.
And then going forward, if you then find out that because your child was given medications when their brain was developing, and you find out later down the line that that had an effect because there's no studies on it, do you have any comeback to come back and go, well, actually, because this child was given this drug, his brain was developing, and now he's addicted to something very similar because his brain got used to it? Or can these drugs make you infertile? Can they make you, do you know, there's no studies into these things. So how do they decide? Is there any kind of comeback later if you then find out that because your child was given a drug for a long period of time that you shouldn't have had, this has happened? Can you come back and kind of go, well, I need help with that now?
Really difficult situation, and really pertinent questions as well being raised by that parent in relation to the compensation scheme. Is there any other reaction this evening, Barry?
Well, the HSC has reiterated its apology to the families and children affected, but I've also been speaking to Sinn Féin TD for Kerry, Pa Daly.
Well, I suppose the first thing is that it's welcome that the department or the HSC are saying that liability is not an issue, because there are a lot of parents in particular who had been blaming themselves that they had brought their child in the first place, or that they continued with seeing the doctor. So an admission that it was definitely not their fault, and that it was entirely the fault of CAMHS is welcome. However, there are a couple of issues that need to be clarified by the government. For example, it's limited to cases from 2016 until 2021. I know that there are, and I have heard of cases where the same issue with drugs like risperidone, over-medication of children for relatively minor issues, where they were given antipsychotic medication, and that took place and commenced before 2016 and continued into it. So I think that they should be included in it. I know that as well that I am told that the review into the North Kerry CAM situation is due to start shortly, but we need a definite date for that. And if, as we all expect, a lot of those cases, liability will not be an issue there, then they should be included in the review.
And that was Barry Lenhan reporting there, speaking to Sinn Féin TD for Kerry, Pa Daly. We're going to stay with this story now. We're joined on the line by Fiona Coyle, Chief Executive of Mental Health Reform. And thank you for joining us again on the programme this evening, Fiona. I know you were listening to that report from Barry. So I wonder, what's your own response to this compensation scheme as communicated with families in recent days?
Yeah, like, as Mental Health Reform, we do welcome the establishment of the scheme for the young people and the families affected by the failures in South Kerry. And appropriate compensation is really crucial to support the children and the young people who suffered harm in our mental health services. The families affected, they need and deserve swift, fair and appropriate redress. And we hope that the government, you know, answers their questions and fulfil its own commitment to deliver a non-adversarial compensation scheme. You know, each and every child who uses our mental health services, they deserve appropriate care and support. And I think one of the consequences of this report, and, you know, what's coming up again and again, is that it has created a sense of mistrust and perhaps at times fear by families and by young people in our mental health services. So we really welcome the swift action, but, you know, it needs to be done in full, and the children and the young people and the family need to be at the heart of any steps that are being taken.
And you mentioned it needs to be non-adversarial, and Minister Mary Butler has committed to a non-adversarial process as the scheme is implemented. But just from your observations, you know, that might be the intent. Does the principle of that usually hold, do you think? Or do you think families are likely to need additional supports to help them navigate the whole process?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that we've been highlighting as Mental Health Reform, and indeed many other organisations, is the lack of an independent advocacy service for children, young people and families. Now, this was something that was recommended in 2017 by the Youth Mental Health Task Force, and it hasn't happened. And if such a service had been in place, you know, it would have been really such a help and support. You know, you heard there in that report how draining going through the processes, having to advocate, having to navigate complex processes, medical processes, you know, going forward, I think if we are to never see such a thing happen again, setting up that independent advocacy service to help and to support, you know, families across the country, not just in Kerry, to if they have questions, that this independent support would be available to them. But we're still waiting for any hint of that being set up.
And just finally then, Fiona, in the week of the South Kerry CAM scandal, the government did commit to implementing 35 recommendations that were in the Maskey report. Now, we've yet to see exactly how or a timeline for when those recommendations will be implemented. Which of those are most critical from your perspective? Or what would you like to see done immediately?
I think for us and for Mental Health Reform, we had a meeting with Minister Butler last week, and she did commit at that meeting, you know, that there is going to be an audit, a comprehensive audit done. There's a piece of academic research that's been done as well. But I think it's action, and, you know, there's leadership needed for the implementation of these recommendations. And we have been calling, as has Minister Butler and a range of other stakeholders, for the re-implementation of a director of mental health in the HSE reporting directly into Paul Reid. That is a position, you know, a lot of these recommendations require leadership to be moved forward. And I think without that position and without that leadership within the HSE, we may not be able to bring about that change that's needed to really rebuild the trust in our services.
Fiona, we'll have to leave it there for this evening, but no doubt we'll be returning to it. And thank you very much for joining us. That's Fiona Coyle, who's Chief Executive of Mental Health Reform.